Yo, what up, what up? This your guy, Devon from Truth Brothers Radio, telling y'all, man, we still on vacation, but we hitting y'all with the best of Truth Brothers Radio right now. You're going to get, he's your son, not your man. Truth Brothers Radio.
Some of it you're going to like, some of it you ain't. Tired of hearing fools complaining in barber chairs and beauty shops.
That is Truth Brothers Radio.
That's more like it.
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody.
Go ahead.
Welcome to another episode of Truth Brothers, the last one before we go on hiatus. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202.
And as always, you guys know you can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net, and truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
And we have a chat room open for your questions and comments on tonight's subject. Hello.
All right. And as everybody knows, that is the voice of the wonderful, beautiful producer, Supreme Candace.
Hey.
All right.
How's everybody feeling?
Yeah. How's everyone's week?
Yeah, pretty good, man.
Pain. Yeah.
Misery.
Yeah, I had to move. I hate moving. Moving is a pain.
It is. It is. And moving really irks your body a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, hate it. So, yeah.
It was your week?
Yeah. Saturday. Sore and, yeah. But whatever. Sore. I like being alive. Whatever.
You got to make that a song.
Right. You guys?
Dude, my week was so up and down, man. I had a literal roller coaster week, man. Like, just the downs and then it got up and it was really good. Then it was just, hey, watch out for that tree, George. Like,
right, okay.
It got bad quick. But I like being alive too, so.
Candace.
All right. Yeah, it's all right.
Fair to middling. I'm surprised you didn't say that.
That's usually what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fair to middle.
All right.
I was waiting on that.
Yeah. So anybody got any plans for their vacation?
I plan on watching these Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup tonight. That's what I plan on doing.
Okay.
That's enjoying something that'll be coming up next week. But, you know, that's going to be my days. That's about it. Working.
All
right. That's all I got.
Candace?
No.
No big plans?
No.
Oh, going to see Kevin Hart movie. I mean, the little stand-up on July 3rd. That's
okay.
Oh, and your B-Day, huh?
Okay.
Not that hey,
ain't. You know, he's a Facebook friend. He's on our page.
Really?
Yeah, he dips in from time to time.
Just metal. He blends in with us everyone.
Yeah, he does.
Little Scott. He's such a little Scott.
All right. Who we hollering at, man?
All right, we're going to send some highlight Sade Walton, who was in a car accident. She's fine. She got hit from the back. Crazy business, right?
Yep, been there. That's,
really?
That's why I got back surgery.
That's
right.
You did get it. I thought they hit you from the side.
Nope, rear end.
Yeah, so Sade,
back
man,
injury, so
get well.
She's okay.
She knows Candace can sympathize with you.
Yes, she can.
Rashad Bivens, who lost his uncle this week, so, you know. Condolences out to him and his family. We lost Bobby Blue Bland. Crazy.
Yeah,
a little bit. I heard he was into gospel, though.
Well, he was in the blues, so, yeah, gospel has a big influence on the blues. So that's...
That ain't what Ray Charles said.
Really?
I'm just figuring. Know your history, Pete. And Tony Soprano. James Gandolfini, we lost him today. I mean, not today, but we lost him this week.
Yeah, over the weekend, on vacation, living it up.
In Italy.
With his son.
Yeah, they say the son was the one who found him, though.
That's rough.
Yeah. Yeah, found them crazy. So shout out to the whole, shout out to their family. Not shout out, but, condolences out to their family. And, hopefully they'll get it better to you. And big shout out to my cousin Lamar, man. What's going on, big bro? I know I said I'll shout you out. DJs, B-Days, y'all got to bear with me. I got a list here because we are going on hiatus. So we got to get some birthdays in. Today is actually Stephen Clark's birthday. Happy birthday, bro. No, dude. Good people. Benji Anderson, Mildred Jefferson, Jammin' Harold, Daryl Miller, Chris Lockett, Brittany Dow, Tanisha Clay Gamble, True Brother Family, Jawanza, Aminu, Karina McIntyre, Sybil Moore, Monique Harris, what's up, sis? Kiana McGrady, and yeah, me. I'll be celebrating my birthday during the break.
All right, yeah. Ready to do it big?
No.
What's the big plan?
Sit here and
do that dirty 30 party. What's the big plan?
What I'm going to do is sit there. You know the bad part about that? Dude's night out. You know what?
Man.
Forget it. I'm going to do it. The bad part about that is that wasn't applause. That was just my bones breaking. Like, that's how I'm going to feel, man. I'm going to probably sit there, let the icy hot chill, give me some Epsom salt, soaking old gel. Like, just that's going to be.
Because you're old.
Dude.
You're old.
Yes.
30.
Yes.
You do. You feel a certain kind of way.
It's
different than any other birthday.
I got to give all my snapbacks back. I can't,
tone them colors down.
Yeah. I mean, I was all.
Actually do your taxes.
Actually doing myself, though. I can't go to
H&R Block.
Yeah, I was going to say the other one. The one J something.
Oh, Hewitt.
Yeah. Hewitt. I can't go. Jackson Hewitt.
Jackson
there
Hewitt.
You go.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't do taxes. I'm sorry. I'm 9 years back, whatever.
Yeah, you don't say that out loud.
I'm playing.
Yep, I got you, yeah.
It's going to be True Brother with Ray.
Okay, Ronald Isley, yeah, used to feel the same way.
It's going to be True Brother with Ray. Sorry, y'all,
Tax
Devon's
player.
In jail. We came back, and they came and got him. That was True Brother. I'm Ray, and the guy that's over there is the dude who's speaking for Devon.
Ice Mike.
You orange flavor.
I kiss you, you orange flavor mother.
No,
and
I,
we are. No, we're not. No,
no, Mike, not there.
Right.
That's what Mike will be. But anyway, yeah. So, but after all that, man, I'm actually going to enjoy my 30s, I think, a lot better than I did my 20s. I really believe that. So.
No, I would hope so.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. And now, ladies and gentlemen, this is The Terrible Truth.
This is the terrible truth. Looking terrible like a slave in the bar.
Greetings and salutations. This is Kent Clark of The Terrible Truth. This portion of The Terrible Truth is brought to you by 3/5 Bank, the bank for coloreds, now with front door entrance.
All right. And Paula Dean Niglitz, by the box or by the tub. Niglets are perfect for any occasion. Shout out to Paula Dean, you little lion heifer.
Niglets.
Remember, that's what she wanted at a wedding. Have a bunch of little niglets dancing.
Baby niglets. Oh. Oh, my God. Paula Dean niglets.
Oh, Paula, what a jerk. You know what? Let me just ask y'all this real quick. And anybody who wants to comment, feel free. 818-514-1202.
Push the
There you go. All these down-home, southern, happy places, restaurants, aren't y'all kind of suspicious of them now? Ain't y'all ready to leave them alone?
No.
Don't you know that anything happy Southern is not happy for you. I don't understand how people love Cracker Barrel the way they do.
It's the look at the
I like
name.
Cracker Barrel.
The name says
Cracker
it's
Barrel.
A barrel full of
crackers.
I like it.
All right.
Yeah.
And shout out to people I know who
you
really
want
to.
Like
if you want to follow the logic out, the way Cracker Barrel is designed, for the time it was designed in, you couldn't eat there. Oh, they'll throw you something slopped out on the back. Come to the back porch, Nigglet. We'll
hold,
give you something.
Hold your hand out and shake for me. We like when you shake.
All right. Southern, oh, it's Southern comfort. There was no Southern comfort for you.
Yeah, it was.
There were picnics.
And rope swing contests.
Right.
Let's use the Nigglet for a swing.
Right. Let's get the Nigglet. Let's go on and get them.
Remember,
let's go on and time to that apology tree. Go on and get the rope of forgiveness.
Remember at the beginning
I
of
hear
sentences.
What y'all saying, but nobody thinks about that when they go to Cracker Barrel.
I did. That's why I couldn't do it. I never liked
Cracker Barrel food to begin with. It just wasn't.
Yeah, it's not all that to me either.
After a while, when you see that guy. See, when I first went up to Cracker Barrel that day, and I saw the guy, the white man, he was sitting there in that rocking chair that be on the front.
With the checkerboard. And I'm thinking, and I thought Emmett, and I was like, don't whistle. Whatever you do,
don't start whistling Dixie.
That is wrong.
No,
really?
That's the vibe I thought. They give you that vibe like, why are you here?
Yeah.
See, you can walk past, though, Candace. They look at you like, look at that comfort guy.
What?
You got the look. No, not like you got the look of a comfort, but they, see, we get that whole, they think you're beautiful and attractive.
Right,
and
they open up the hot box for us.
Right, we go in the hot box, no questions asked.
They still want your green money. So, I mean.
Really?
Yeah.
Cracker Barrel was hit up with a whole bunch of discrimination lawsuits very early in the 90s when they first started branching out, but it was against the homosexuals. So everybody said, well, they're discriminating against them, not me. It's okay.
It was Chick-fil-A.
So, yeah, that right. Whole, you know, the whole Paula Deen played that, oh, I'm just down homie, and no.
Now you apologize and say, look, I got four nigglets I like hanging around all the time. My best friend is a nigglet.
She did.
Hey,
you know,
we got
on the Terrible Truth last year, though. When the lady first filed the lawsuit, we called it for what it was worth. Go back and check it out, people. We did. Paula Deen.
I hate her life.
Yeah.
She probably hates hers, too, right about now.
And I got to give it to Candace. She's a big foodie. She's never big on Paula Deen, though. I'll give her that.
I wasn't. Well,
I mean, she puts butter in everything.
I was going to say, when you use a stick of butter for everything.
Hand me that
cereal. Cornflakes, Southern style, y'all. Put a stick of butter in it and some lard. Now, stir it up real nice.
You get that thick mush filling. You had that mush. All right. Now, hand me that water with that stick of butter in it.
Now, that says slavery.
Nothing
says slavery like a bunch of nigglets at your wedding.
She said that.
She said it. She said it. That was her dream wedding.
Some tiny little nigglets
to dance.
Suits and dancing. What's the girl?
At her restaurant. Her restaurant. She had an all-black staff for a reason because she was giving you the feeling of slavery.
I thought she liked boning the nigglets.
No, she liked boneless nigglets.
I thought she like, hey, look at that tall, dark nigglet. Let's get him over here so we can, put some in my Dean's milk. Check it out.
That's all kind of nasty.
Speaking of nasty, right? Woman sues MAC Cosmetics after getting herpes.
Speaking,
we did see Dark Skies yesterday, didn't we? With the girl with the herpes lip. She had herpes in that movie. I'm sorry. That's why the skies were dark. My son said.
The herpes.
Because you kissed him.
The herpes.
You got the AIDS. A woman claims she got a souvenir at a Rihanna concert that will last her a lifetime. Herpes. Greenrich claims in a new lawsuit she was at a Rihanna concert at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn when she was approached by a MAC rep who was hawking lipstick samples. Greenrich claims the rep applied the Riri Woo Rare lipstick.
The Riri Woo Red lipstick
endorsed by Rihanna, who we'll get to that in a minute.
All right.
Well, she's endorsed by Rihanna to her upper lip, told her to press her lips together and spread it around, you know, like you spread herpes. The suit claims the lipstick had been previously applied to the lips of others at the concert and someone had the herp. Greenridge told TMZ the day after the concert, my whole lip was irritated and hugely swollen. Greenridge said she went to the doctor and he told her she had herpes. The package is what they call it. The suit accused...
Tell me, he didn't just say that.
She got the package. Y'all remember that part? Y'all remember that from R. Kelly? The suit accuses Mac of shady business practices. I'm sorry, applying lipstick directly from the tube instead of using
an applicator of some sort. Yeah,
disposable samples or individual swabs. Greenridge is suing Mac Cosmetic Incorporated, not Rihanna.
No, you can't sue Rihanna
for unclosed damages. I don't know what the undisclosed damages are, but...
Yeah, I got to carry this herpes around for the rest of my life.
Well, it can't be undisclosed because you just told us what you got.
No. The undisclosed amount, they don't want to say what they're suing them for, how much they're suing them for. But trust me, it ain't going to be a G.
It's gonna be the package. She wants the whole...
$1 million.
They going to come at her with the bag with the dollar signs on it.
Yep. A couple of them.
Yes.
Drop it right on her lap. This what you need, Ms. Starkima.
What do we got to do here at Mac to make this go away?
That's like the old, remember the old commercial when they was like, he's got a lawyer? It's like, what do we got to do with that? But it's, who was that lawyer that they were supposed to be scared of in the commercial? And then they said, now we got troubles.
Whatever.
It was a bootleg.
He got a lawyer.
Yeah. So she plans on winning. Mac, but then again, Rihanna was supposed to get beat up in the car because she supposed to gave Chris herpes. Did y'all hear that rumor? I'm sure you
did.
Whoa,
no.
Y'all didn't hear that rumor?
Here we go.
Yeah, no, the rumor was
Chris just always want to beat on somebody.
The reason Chris went Lambo crazy was because he was supposed to got the package from Rihanna. And it just so happened that it broke him out. Now, speaking of breaks, we got to take one.
Like that.
Perfect.
That was nice. That's called a segue, people.
We'll be right back. More Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio. No west, no west, hot take. Black smoke, black toast. Big Mac, fat toast. Ecstasy, cap toast. President, canned toast. Every rock moves. Cool work, cold death. Ain't west, hot shit. All get shit back. Ghetto people, shot shit. Ain't from not shit. No punk, cop shit. We won't stop shit. Everybody, cool work, DK. New rock, west side. Too hard, too hungry, too many. That's Truth Brothers Radio.
Mr. Dumbass, I can bring a lot to Dumbass and Dumbass. I'm a go-getter. Dumbass material all the way. So, am I your man, Mr. Dumbass?
The name is Dumas.
That's pretty thick-headed. But nothing compared to the rich, thick, frosty mouth taste of an A&W root beer. With A&W, it's good to be thick-headed.
What a dumbass.
I'd like to make a request.
What you want to hear, baby?
Truth Brothers Radio.
Like the locks on the bend. After the after party, we'll be getting it in. Pause for a drink, then we cutting again.
Truth Brothers Radio, and we're back. And don't forget, we're going to be going into our second hour topic tonight as he is your son, not your man.
Boom, boom.
Yep. And the board is growing, man.
I know.
The board
I guess a
is
lot
growing.
Of people really want to get in on that topic, man, on he's your son.
Yeah.
That's not just forget that this will be our last show before we go on our hiatus, man. So we got to leave this one with a bang. I'm planning on Hey, I'm putting the envelope a little
good,
later.
Good, yeah. And everybody else, y'all join in. And if you got some terrible truth stories, just hit that number one, and we'll let your guests commentate. And this is the last show. Let's have a little fun. Let's cut loose a little bit.
I'm going to miss this.
Yeah. All right. Well, she didn't miss this. Megan Hayes charged with having sex with an 11-year-old boy she babysat.
I love his life right now.
Cocoa Beach, Florida.
Really?
Yeah. The 11-year-old, he's a winner. Yeah.
Have you ever seen that movie, That's My Boy?
No.
Oh, yeah. With Adam Sandler. And he was a young boy, a young street tough who liked to get up with his teacher, who parents didn't treat him so nice. He got that dog, Reggie.
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Megan Hayes, a 21-year-old Florida woman, was jailed Thursday. Yeah, after she allegedly had sexual intercourse with an 11-year-old she was babysitting.
How she look? I'm sorry.
She looks pouty. She's got that. Yeah, I did it, and I don't know why y'all making a big deal out of it. Look on her face.
Oh yeah.
Let me see.
Looking so candid, old girl.
Yeah.
She like a creep.
Yeah, that's she cool. Looked like, and you bet not say nothing.
That's cool.
Creature. All right. According to Cocoa Beach Police, Hayes was babysitting an 11-year-old boy late last month when she allegedly had sexual intercourse with him. Investigators say an investigation was launched after Hayes told someone about the sexual encounter. This fool bragged. The 11-year-old said, "Oh, that's going in the vault," and she brags.
The 11-year-old got more maturity.
Got more sense.
Then the 20, oh yeah, I told little Timmy up.
Vicky broke Timmy off. Right. Vicky say, "I'm not so icky. Look at this.
This ain't icky, Vicky.
Sticky, Vicky."
Oh God.
Don't you like it? Timmy said, "I wish that Vicky would not tell anybody, but Cosmo didn't press the right one."
There you go.
I got you. How do you bet?
Yeah, during the police interview, Hayes reportedly admitted to having a sexual encounter with the child. Hayes' father told local media that his daughter has a low IQ. She's a Down syndrome girl.
Down syndrome girl.
She's got that down. And she insisted that she doesn't know right from wrong.
No.
She's that boy on the airplane who couldn't take his plastic hammer on there with him.
She drools a lot, but she liked to drool on the boy, but she didn't know that was wrong.
She's that pillow talking, slightly walking.
There you go.
Down syndrome girl.
She likes to spill a yoo-hoo.
She got that... That slight ill, that slight eye winking.
Oh, I spilled the yoo-hoo in your lap. I'll fix it.
Oh, my God.
Don't need a straw.
We here at the Truth Brothers do apologize for any inappropriate remarks that were made and will be made during this broadcast.
Why would I need a straw?
All clean. I found a straw.
It's in your pants. Move Donatello to the side. Let me get in there.
There you go. Let me hit your numb chuck.
Started from the...
When your dad got to get out in front of the TV and say, "Y'all got to forgive her. She has a low IQ."
Y'all stop it. I can't believe she used that boy for a cup.
First off.
They call it down one.
I want to give a big True Brother applause to the 11-year-old.
Really?
Oh, hey, I was 11 and I got broke off. Oh, I'm not telling. Oh, no. Can Downey watch me again, Mom?
I call her Downey because she's soft and slow.
All summer.
Oh, my God.
All summer.
I bet
Seriously.
He just got to a point. She came in the house. He took his little...
He laid in the bed with his robe and his bubble cigar.
They call him Pooh Hefner. Pooh is what they call him.
He had a bubble pipe.
Told her good evening.
Said she's just a two-dimensional IQ in a three-dimensional world.
Pooh down.
Yeah.
Slur speech girl is what we call her.
That is so messed up.
I... Can I be real, man?
Yeah. Oh, no, I feel for you again. Guess I got to take these pajamas off.
Not mine. Yours.
But I spilled it on you.
No, you didn't. Oops, and I just eliminated my pants.
Guess we got to get those off. Let's get them in the dryer quick.
Yeah, let me blow on them.
Oh. Dennis the Menace got over.
Oh, yeah.
Dennis the Menace got over.
Boy, okay.
Hey, he's 11-year-old boy. You think he's going to say something? He didn't go out to his boy. He just went back out like.
But then again, at 11, who do you know that you can tell?
Really, the boy would tell everybody, but he kept that. Yep, nope. Put that right in the vault.
Because I plan on doing it again.
I plan on doing this for a minute. They don't even have his name, and he's protected.
Well, yeah, he's 11. He's a minor.
And he didn't win.
He didn't. He had some crazy creep touching on his junk.
No, a crazy creep is your priest. Your 21-year-old female babysitter is called your fairy godmother.
That's your we call that the American dream.
Yeah.
Every boy.
Yeah.
Let's just clear that real quick, Ken, before you get to that. Let me put my hands up. Look, first off, every boy had at least a crush on a teacher.
Yep.
Or your babysitter, if you had a babysitter. I remember my crush on my teacher. Well, it wasn't Muhammad yet, but it was Miss Scott. Literally, she was a Scott. So, oh,
Jill.
Man. Jill. Yeah, whatever. And I used to, hey, can we ask her? Like, just flat out, I did, I swear to God. You said, hey, you know what? Last time you told me you was going to take me, you lied. And I didn't get to go with you to the teacher's lounge. Now, I want to go with you to the teacher's lounge. I used to ask every day.
Hey, let me buy you a drink
right after lunch.
Go to the teacher's lounge for what?
Because it was a lounge.
Just to be up under her or what?
I mean, whatever. I mean, I kept getting shot down, but I didn't care. I was every day. Hey.
Yeah, when an 11-year-old boy, yeah, he's hugging every fine teacher in the school, always hugging. Always, look. I got another D. Give me a hug.
Yeah, I just
yeah.
I thought it was fun. I'm
yeah.
sorry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Moving right along. My story is Jamie Neal robbed a gas station wearing a clear plastic bag.
Stroke of genius.
You big dummy.
There are dumb thieves, and there is Jamie Neal. This 41-year-old convicted.
Mm-hmm. Down syndrome, boy. He got that down.
He has a low IQ, too.
This 41-year-old was convicted this week of robbing a gas station in Cornwall, United Kingdom, last while wearing a see-through plastic bag. Neal and his accomplice, Gareth Tilley, age 20, were drunk and high on stolen medication when they decided to rob the gas station.
Called Scott Juice.
In their haste, they each grabbed the nearest thing they could use as a disguise, a scarf for Tilley and a plastic bag for Neal.
A clear plastic. Give me this baggie.
No, don't tie it tight. I won't
be able
to breathe.
Whoa.
Leave it loose.
Put a hole in it. I'm not stupid. I got to breathe.
Hey. Pop the one in the chair.
Tilley wasn't
I'm there. Go. Go.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm there.
Tilley wasn't exactly a top-notch criminal either. He tried using his mobile phone as a pretend gun, only to have the phone light up during the call.
And it rang.
When that happened, the female cashier quickly hit an alarm. Neal then head-butted her, and then he and Tilley grabbed several bottles of booze and made their getaway, the Metro reported. However, Neal's see-through bag was such a lame disguise that he was arrested 2 days later by an off-duty cop who instantly recognized him in the street from the security footage.
Because he still had the bag on.
Tilley, that's you.
Tilley, statue lied.
No, Tilley was the one who had the scarf.
Oh,
I'm sorry. He wore it around his neck.
Doesn't matter. Dummies are
Neal
dummies.
Neal, who was the plastic bag wearer, was sentenced to 2 years in prison for his crime, while Tilley received a 2-year sentence at an earlier trial. so.
You big dummy.
Both down.
Yep, this portion of the winter hour. Just dumb. Just stupid.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, that's pretty awful. That's pretty awful. So we're going to take a minute and catch our breath from all this stupidity. We'll take another break, and when we come back, we'll get more into the terrible truth. Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio. Pro-black twist. Hard truth soldiers in the game. Hard truth soldiers back again. P-Dog, I evolve. I drag pigs to the slaughterhouse, but I never eat hog. At the fed in the world.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken
snack? What's in the new chicken wrap?
Mary?
Crispy chicken.
Snack wraps.
Come
and get it at Burger King.
Oh, Lord! This racism is killing me
this radio, and we are back. We're delving back into the terrible truth. Well, we're going to swing it back to Devon and
yes,
I'm sorry, Kent.
Yeah, Devon's not here.
That's right. Kent.
My
apologies. You guys look alike sometimes.
That's what I heard. Except yeah. Devon has dreadlocks and Kent has blonde hair.
That's
and
right.
Glasses. And he's a great reporter. That man with 10 stone testicle is unhappy after removal as op left him with 1-inch penis.
Yep.
Oh.
He's been ripped off. You took all my meat.
I used to come
back with my whale.
I used to walk around with the big ball just to impress the ladies. Now look at this. What? This? Never mind.
What am I looking at?
I know, right? A man with 10 stone testicles is unhappy after their removal and operation left him with a tiny penis. Wesley Warren Jr., literally, up top, nobody, top myself, had a 13-hour procedure to remove his swollen sack after it grew so huge he had to wear a hoodie on top of his trousers to support the load.
Damn.
Yeah, big balls will, what they call them.
Wait, so he had to wear the hoodie upside down?
That's
and
right.
Tied around his waist
yeah,
or something?
That's
yeah,
right.
He had to carry the homie.
Yeah, Kahona Jenkins is
damn
what they called him.
Yeah. A hero couldn't have sex and suffered from crippling pain from carrying around the testicles, which weighed more than a baby hippo.
Damn, wait.
10 stone.
Wrong baby.
No.
Shit. What's up?
We going out, baby. Let's
yeah
go.
How much does a baby hippo weigh?
About 78 pounds.
Oh.
I don't know. I just guess.
Oh.
You know what it sounds like? Remember when the lion did the Cadbury commercial and tried to sound
walk
like a... Yeah. That's what the baby hippo sounds like. But now the American fears will not be able to have a relationship with the woman after the surgery left his manhood
no
measuring just 1 inch long.
No.
You got rice.
I'm sorry. Just
men,
ain't no muscles, baby. I'm sorry.
He better become an expert at some other things.
I don't think. Well, could. Speaking exclusively to the Sun, Wesley said, here we go. I know the majority of the people are probably expecting me to express extreme happiness and glee that my life has been transformed since the sack has been removed. We gonna switch his voice up a little bit. I feel like
give him double T in the morning.
But it's not as simple as that. I do feel a great sense of comfort that the way is no longer between my legs. But got to the point that the danger to my health. But when I look down at what's here now,
it's 1 inch, people. 1 inch. What can I do with an inch?
It's not the same as what it was.
Damn, you can't even pull it. You just got to squeeze
it. Dead giveaway.
You got to squeeze it like you squeeze a blood pressure thing.
You got to tweezer it. Baby, I'm finna go in, tweeze off. You go in, get you some sleep. Because I don't think with 1 inch you can jerk off. Because
you
got to get a hold.
You don't have a stride.
Yeah, you got to. Hey, baby,
no
I'm about,
rhythm.
I'm about to go.
Pump it like a blood
I'm
pressure.
About to go fingernail it real quick. But when I look down at what was there, it's not what it was. It's totally different. My natural look prior to the growth is not what came out of surgery. What came out was something bad and small.
That's the time for dang. We've got to call it. We've got to call it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. 706. You're on with the Truth Brothers. What's your name?
What's happening? It's your boy, Mr. Moby. Why the fuck are we talking about Lou Engine? Why are we talking about Lou Engine today?
Well, I don't know. That's
Hey, man.
I'm not talking about. I'm just saying
it's
hurt.
A tragedy.
Dead giveaway is what he got.
Hey, first of all, who has a cane? Did you mess with somebody that has a Lou Wee Wee?
I have long time ago.
Long time ago. Did you enjoy that?
How about no?
I don't
not
think it was nothing there to enjoy.
I don't think that. Look, they say that size matter. Women say size matter. That shit don't matter. That shit don't mean shit. That's a lie. I think that's a lie.
Stripper name, Moby
Dick. I'm being real serious right now. Like, okay, I'm not saying I'm hung, okay, but I'm good. I'm gonna say that, okay, but I can
enough,
give a woman
enough to make you eat every day off of it.
What?
I don't have to work at the grease mill. See, I got this, and it wiggles, and I get paid for it.
That's beside the point.
Now, I want to hear this.
Go ahead, Moby.
Look, this is real talk. I'm driving right now, so if y'all hear a little road rage, don't be like, what the hell's wrong with him? I'm driving. People driving acting stupid in Pittsburgh. But, so I'm going to say this. You can give a woman 3 inches. If you have a, let's say this, you have an 8-inch penis, a 9-inch penis, and you give a woman 4 inches of your dick, I've been experienced that a woman can still come up with 4 inches of dick. So a woman that says,
I don't know.
Matter, she's lying.
Now, I'm going to say this.
Kids go to bed.
Better not bring your kids.
Well, I don't know how much can be done with 4 inches. Now, you can be a little short, but you better have some girth. You have to come up with something to make
what, a baby hippo
for your short tummy.
Besides that, how about what advice can you give the man with the 1 inch at the end?
He better be good with himself.
Brothers Radio.
You
ask the dog.
You ask. Don't ask a question you don't want the answer to, but that's true.
I'm going to ask you this question. You said, what kind of advice can I give a man that has a 1-inch penis?
Yeah.
Not the life.
For my personal reasons, it wasn't me that asked. Let's just clear
that's
that up.
That's a story.
Okay.
I said, y'all ask me that, I'm going to tell that man to get God in his life and live his life, because you're never getting none ever in your life.
Boom. You know, why? Because size matters, right?
No, size don't matter, but that's a click. You might as well just say you got a click. You might as well just say you got a pussy click if you got a winning team.
If size don't matter, why your name ain't Moby Shrimp? Or Moby Lobster Tail? If that don't matter,
matter. Size don't matter, but 1 inch is up. 1 inch. Okay, seriously. 1 inch, it's not even a whole fingernail. So, truthfully, dog, that's basically a click. That's just a woman's pussy. You technically, he's technically a man with a woman's pussy. That's basically what that is.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, bro. See, the point is that some form of a size matters. Like, we just got into
one inch
is you kill yourself. Like, die tomorrow. You know, you can't really just... Because Jesus didn't bless me enough. Like, that's it. Now, here's the thing. Now, let me ask you, just if size really don't matter to some women, and I'm going to ask you, bro, because you in the profession. If stripper... Like, if your name was on a flyer and you go up or one of the things and it said Moby Dick on one and Tiny Tony on the other one, who do you say are going to go first? Just ask. Just off name alone.
I think they're going to go see Tiny first, because they're going to really want to see is his dick really tiny. They're really going to want to know for a fact. Like, they're going to say Moby Dick. Oh, he got one. But Tiny, I want to see if it's real.
Woman, we are not going to go see Tiny Tony for no reason. I'm not spending no money on that.
Hold on, wait a minute. There's a midget that's a stripper. His name is Big Mac. And women pay that nigga. He get paid more than I do to get booked for private parties and shows.
Big Mac, and I'm sure all of him is small. Now let me ask you this about Big Mac. Have you seen Big Mac?
Yeah, I've seen him before. I've been to show with him before, once before.
Now, I don't want to ask you about Big
right.
Match Pack.
He's not like dude.
Look,
that's
I
what I'm saying.
Listen. I'm a straight man, so I can answer this question. No homo. I'm going to say it like that, because everybody wants it out there like that. No homo. But the nigga, when they say midges is like midges, no, nigga, that no homo. But then he was up there. I got to give it to the nigga. The little nigga's hard. That's all I can say.
He's a midget with a grown man. Long and he's named Big Mac.
Big Mac is
Big Mac. And he got a leg. His shit is like his leg.
All right, I'm getting real uncomfortable.
Now,
wait.
if dude who just had surgery came to you and said, Moby, I want to get in the game, man. I need you to help me get out there. Can you help him?
With a 1 inch penis? No, that can't help you. What'd you say? He said he got surgery?
Yeah, he got a surgery to move his big balls, right? And after they took his balls off, which weighed the size of a baby hippo, they pulled back. And here's the part I don't believe. I don't think they slimmed him on the penis side.
He was born with baby hippo. The DNA got all screwed up and it all went to the balls.
And because of that, he said, look what y'all did. You left me with a teeny teeny. Now, my question is,
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Right. But the question was, if my man was going ahead handling his business with the one inch joint, you said you can't even offer him any advice or nothing at all. He just has to hang it up, right?
Yeah, he got a basically tie that up and charge that to the game. Like, this is a game that you're not going to make it in.
Moral of the story,
size matters.
All right. Hold on.
Size don't matter. Okay, then. All right, Candace, would you fuck a nigga that has a 16-inch dick?
Here we go. We're not getting into all of that.
Well, answer's no.
See?
No, but see, we're talking about in this particular context.
All right. But that's what I'm saying. But size does matter, because there's no offense, there's women that won't fuck a nigga that got a 16-inch dick.
Well,
there's a lot of women that say that, oh, I'm not touching that. That's going to fuck my insides up.
My insides right where they at. But I'm just saying, you know, size does matter. I mean, no one's saying that you have to have a big, colossal, salamander-type looking thing. I'm just saying that, you know.
Yeah,
I feel dirty.
Oh, I feel uncomfortable all the time. Y'all talk.
I'm sure.
But, you know, in this particular instance, 1 inch, I mean, come on, dude. I mean, that's not satisfying anybody. Not at all. No one said that you have to have anything that's just ridiculously like a human tripod, but you want, you know, you want something different.
But you're saying she was
excessive. Yeah, they told me one way.
Wow.
All righty, man. Thanks for the call, bro.
You are always a dose of something new, bro.
There you go.
That boy there.
All right, people. Y'all can get the kids out the room.
My God.
We hope.
Right.
My God, did that just take a turn I didn't expect at all. Moby is exciting.
Yes, he is.
Oh man, you got to.
Yeah, so here we go. Moving right along.
We're trying to.
Yeah. Xavier Guzman, jailed after shooting stranger in retaliation for Father's Day snub.
Uh-oh.
He was angry.
Obviously.
He was a little upset. Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, huh.
Sure. Yeah, okay. Xavier Guzman, a 25-year-old man, was jailed Monday after he allegedly shot an innocent stranger because he wasn't allowed to see his child on Father's Day.
Hey.
According to police, Guzman came enraged when his child's mother refused to let him in to see his child on Father's Day. In retaliation, Guzman drove to Douglas Park, pulled up next to a 21-year-old man, and repeatedly fired a handgun at him.
Oh.
Officers who were patrolling the area heard the gunshots and were alerted to a white SUV speeding away from the scene. As officers pursued the vehicle, Guzman was seen tossing a .38 caliber handgun out of the vehicle through the driver's side window. The handgun was recovered and Guzman was arrested when he crashed his SUV. She might not have let him see him because he got anger issues, see?
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe he was drunk or something.
Yeah, he got issues. During the police interview, Guzman told the detectives that he didn't know the 21-year-old victim but shot him anyway because someone had to pay.
Wow.
After he was refused access to his child, the victim was taken to Mount Sinai Hospital where he's recovering from the gunshot wound.
That's a mess.
What a jerk.
Yeah. You big dummy.
Look here, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people take them father's rights real serious.
Yeah. A little too serious. That one's a little too serious. Now, we done did a three-part thing on father's rights, but we never came up with that conclusion. Go out, go to the park, and just shoot somebody. Till you feel better.
Yeah, and but my thing is, man, you know, we gotta stop that look. I mean, I know the struggle is hard, bros, and whatever. You cannot be out here doing dumb things like that. And I know you feel like, man, there's no out, but no, you can't do that. And trust me.
You basically justified every reason why she didn't let you see the kid.
Yeah, so.
Because you're a moron.
Indeed, but. That hurts because, you know, you got dudes out here hurting for real, trying to do the right thing. And that really, to hear a story like that just kills the momentum of what the dudes are trying to put forward. It's like, yeah, I'm going to leave that one alone.
Yeah, yeah, jerk ass. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, good grief. Well, I got a story here about Cruz Tenorio, who was sentenced for tattooing a 3-year-old, which was his nephew.
You got to practice somebody.
I guess this takes place in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Tattooed a 3-year-old.
Listen, a New Mexico man has been sentenced to 6 months in federal prison for using homemade instruments to tattoo the letter I on the arm of his 3-year-old nephew.
Okay, now what
federal,
was his name?
Who, the child or the...
Now,
here we go.
Come down. Relax.
The one being charged?
Yeah.
Cruz Tenorio.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's go. Go ahead.
Federal prosecutors say 29-year-old Cruz Tenorio of Kiwa Pueblo was sentenced Tuesday.
Was he off at Quavo?
I have no clue yet.
Okay.
Let's see. He must serve 6 months in a halfway house when he's released from prison. Tenorio must also pay restitution. Prosecutors say that...
How many pesos?
I don't know.
Okay.
Prosecutors say that that will ensure that the child has access to any needed medical or psychological services, including the removal of the tattoo.
Yes, thank
you. Tenorio pleaded guilty in March to child abuse. So the charges stem from 2011.
He didn't plead loco?
What?
He didn't plead loco at all?
I haven't gotten that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just had to keep asking.
When I finish reading the story.
That is insanity. Ain't that loco?
The charge stemmed from 2011 when authorities say he tattooed his nephew's arm using rudimentary and unsterilized tools. Prosecutors say Tenorio had no formal training and he took no precautions to prevent the possible infection.
Oh, no, it looked good on the kid, a tattoo.
Holmes.
That's a mess.
What was the eye for?
Idiot.
Nope, can't do it.
A big eye on it. And as he grows up, it'll turn into a little eye. See the beauty of it all?
That's a mess.
Stupid.
Can I?
Yeah.
Can I come out the closet? Now? Can
Here
I
we
say
go.
Not come out the closet like that, but can
Here
I?
Here we go.
All right.
Uh-oh.
So
we need to work on getting video here, because I swear, if they can see some of the stuff we do.
Okay, so let me ask you this, right?
Yeah.
What was his name again?
Cruz Tenorio.
Tenorio. Okay. And he tattooed an eye on the boy.
Yes.
Not like
the letter I.
The letter I. And they didn't give the little, what, the thress. That's his DC thress, right? Three, right?
C.
Okay. Now, let's get down to some business. Here's my problem with the whole situation right there, right?
Your thing is.
My thing is, or as my people would say, que somo yai. My man says, right, that's literally how you, no, that's how you say it. I found out, literally.
No shit.
Yeah.
All right.
It's cool.
Oops, sorry.
Oh. Yep. Go ahead. Cuss show.
Hey, won't we started it.
So, anyway, I was going to call them Paula Deen's kids. But my thing is, first off, why would you tattoo, unless you were under the influence, why would you tattoo Lil Joker? Like, that was not even cool.
Why you gotta? Go ahead.
Why would you tattoo Little Joker? Kick my dog on. Like, why would you do that?
We here at the Truth Brothers do apologize for the inappropriate comments that were. God damn it. Sorry.
Dog on.
You bogus as hell.
Get your bag, mate. That's what Lil Joker said.
That's wrong. We didn't ask to get tattooed.
Right.
We didn't. Juan did not ask to get tattooed. Okay, I'll stop. Fine.
That's
that is messed up.
I guess now here it is. I'm wrong. I feel as if, you know, all jokes aside, I'm not gonna go in again, or I'm not even gonna attempt to put it like that because I didn't go in. I don't think that the dude, you need to check and see if the man has some mental issues first. And
he's got low IQ.
Like he might
feels that yoo-hoo every now and again.
He might just put a little, boy, the joke that was, I can't say that. He might be Down syndrome, yes. I'll leave it at that because my brain is going straight to say what's on your brain.
On this baby.
Why won't we get XM? Because I just want to say what I want to say and be done with it.
Yeah.
We just need to get over there.
Just go over there and just demand a contract.
Yes, look here.
I got you. I'll work on it.
Yeah.
We get new studios built. I mean, I'm... Boys,
what you want me to do?
Yeah,
ask God wasn't built in the day.
Man.
But, no, seriously, man. I mean, I don't know if they said it in the story, but the dude needs to be evaluated from some type of psychological issues because to sit a three-year-old is going to holler, and I don't think
really?
The boy sat there
crying.
And sat there and said, hey, man, put a little bit more shading around that eye. And what was the boy's name?
He's a minor, so they didn't
say. They're
going to
give his name.
Iglesias. I'm sure that was it.
That is nuts.
No, the only eye name I could think of that gets with it ain't like he tattooed. Like, I would have sworn it would have been a rosary, praying hands, Jesus, Virgin Mary,
the
Chihuahua from Taco Bell. Anything like that, I would assume that would have been in there.
Jesus.
a low rider.
Okay.
Okay, outside of your doggo stereotypical.
Chicken, watermelon.
Yeah.
Guns.
Gold teeth. Let's balance it out.
We got gold
teeth.
Paula Deen
would have been. Yeah, Paula Deen gave that story. Paula Deen gave that story. Yeah, it'd have been chains.
Yeah.
Gold teeth. Watermelon.
Racist.
Right.
Every favorite thug tattoo with a cross and it say only God can judge me.
All eyes on me.
I think what it is, and I'm just theorizing here. You know, he was babysitting the nephew. You know, maybe he's close to the nephew.
Mm.
Maybe uncle is in a gang. And
wow.
No. Hear me out. This is the only way I can rationalize giving a 3-year-old a tattoo. Uncle probably all tatted up, might be in a gang or some other affiliation, maybe not, but the kid probably was admiring and said, you want a little tattoo like me? And he did the dumb stuff.
Yep.
That is the only way I can see you would be willing to give a 3-year-old a tattoo. And I don't even see that.
I think it was probably he was trying to make a – go ahead, man, because, yeah.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
I'm really trying to breeze. You got something there?
Yeah.
No, we
got 3 minutes left.
You don't want to get into that?
I got something in the last 3 minutes I would like to share from one of our listeners, just to kind of change the tone of this. We received an email last week from a Renee Day, who is a listener of ours who's been listening to the show for a couple of months. And the subject of the email she sent says, Truth Brothers and My Research Paper. And she says, hi, everybody. I have been listening to your show for a couple of months now, and I enjoy it very much. You guys are too funny and say the darndest things. I am a college senior, and I had to write a persuasive research paper for a controversial psychology course I took this semester. I used a story from your Terrible Truth segment in my paper as a source, and I added Truth Brothers to the reference section of my paper. Thanks for helping me get a B on my assignment. Keep up the good work, Renee Day.
All right. Thank you. Hey, see?
I would love to get a copy of that paper just to, you know what I'm saying? See?
Right.
So, hopefully she calls in one day. We just, you know, from the Truth Brothers, we want to thank you for, you know, tuning in.
And
then
good thing you got a B because the teacher never bothered to check the show.
I doubt that.
Yeah, that teacher did not bother to check that reference.
Mr. Smolinski did not think that the Truth Bros.
Yeah, he'd have checked them Truth Bros out. You'd have been rocking a fat D.
For dummy or Down Syndrome girl. That'll be...
All right. And on that note, we're going to go ahead and get ready to go into the second hour topic of he's your son, not your man. Strap it down because we're going to get deep on this one. True Brian Brothers Trump. Radio. Yep.
Truth Brothers Radio.
It's not about anything else.
Go to your room and lock the door. Cause when you try it once, you want to try it some more.
Try it some more.
Time doesn't matter and that's all fact. It might be small, but it's a million rounds.
No.
But you're not. Grab a bag of cornets and blast the nuts. And lightly dust it and fog as well. Enjoy yourself, we won't count. Everybody does it, they like it a lot. Just don't get caught. Except if you benefit, if you don't delay. Take your time and your life for me.
Bust a nut.
Grab a bag of corn nuts and bust a nut.
It lightly
comes in and
hard as well.
Enjoy yourself, we won't
tell. Corn nuts, an intensely crunchy corn snack, comes in 7 nut busting.
Yeah, again, this is Divine True Brothers Radio. We guys, we on our break, of course. We're on our vacation. And we're going to kick it off with the second part of this show, True Brothers Radio.
Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of Truth Brothers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202.
And press the number one. Also, you guys can hit us up at our email, just like the last listener who got a B on her exam did, at wewanttruth@att.net. And truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
All right, we've got the chat room open this evening for your questions and comments on, hey, he's your son, not your man.
Yeah.
And this is a pretty, now the fellas came up with this topic. This is a pretty wild one right here.
Yeah, no, I mean, think it's something, you know, men talk about this all the time, about single moms or mothers who got sole custody or whatever, and they just, they bring their son around a little too much. You're bringing them to the function at the job. You're bringing them to every function that you go to. You're going to the movies to see your chick flick, and you're bringing him.
Mm-hmm.
You're palling around with him. It's a little bit beyond close. Not saying that it's sexual. Nothing like that. But you choose to hang with him because you've developed this relationship where you've clicked with him because you've raised him.
Yeah.
Instead of doing the due diligence to click with your boyfriend or get a man to click with.
True. I mean, a lot of times you think, I mean, like I've seen situations where the woman or, you know, would have the kid and just feel like, okay, because the man's not there, I'll be around this boy since he's a baby all the way up until his 10 years and all the way up beyond that, to the point where the kid feels like he neglects outside women because, you know, he has to take care of his mom. And
mm-hmm.
The mother loves that, which it's not normal to me. I don't think that it's normal for the man to want to push away women that he'll eventually have to be with for the mother because they feel as if, or, you know, they feel as if the mom gets more rights than the person he could eventually spend his life with.
Yeah.
That's creepy to me, though.
Yeah, or you'll argue with your son like he's your boyfriend, or you'll do something. Or I'm going to tell you a little story. It's a guy that me and Devon know. We ain't going to give his name. But the brother's a good young brother. He started working.
with us,
and he was under my tutelage to train. So I'm out there training him one day, and we were all around this box, and I'm showing them how to restructure this communications box, right? So during the course of the day, his phone rang, and he picks up the phone, and you can see him getting embarrassed because he's having this argument about pizza, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when he finished, we like, oh, man, yeah, your girl giving you grief, huh? Yeah, you know, don't worry about it. And he was like, no, that wasn't my girl. That was my mother. And we like, huh? So he explained how, you know, since he got this nice, well-paying job, he moved his mom and his sister out of the bad neighborhood, and he went and got this nice, you know, three-bedroom joint.
That he paid for,
right, to get his mother and his sister out of this bad area. And we thought that was admirable. All, you know, hats off to him.
No doubt.
Because his sister was a young teenager, and he wanted to make sure that it was always someone around to protect her. Can't knock that. Can't knock that with a stick. That's what he's supposed to do.
Right.
But the mom called, I guess, the night before he orders pizza, right?
Mm-hmm.
They all eat the pizza.
And he paid for it.
Right. He paid for it. They all eating the pizza, and everybody go to bed. He gets up to go to work. He grabbed the last two slices to take to work for his lunch. I guess she got up or got home or whatever. Hit
she gets enraged and calls him up on his job to front him about the pizza he bought.
Mm-hmm.
And asked him, you know, hey, what happened to that pizza? And he's sitting there like, I ate it for lunch. And you could just hear her on the other line just,
you little niggly.
So, yeah, so.
And he's quiet now, and
okay. Yeah, and I'm getting mad.
Yeah.
I'm getting mad. So he was just, he was trying to explain himself. And, yeah, I overstepped my bound. I just yelled out, hey, man, tell her the nigga that bought the pizza ate the last pizza.
Did you say nigga, though?
That's what I said then. I'm just quoting what I said.
I got you.
I'm just saying.
Knuckle.
Yeah, I could. I'm just saying.
Your emotions have kicked in.
That just give us a pass, DeMar.
Right.
Yeah, she's looking at you now for the Unity and Cuss show.
Hey, sometimes you got to let out the way you're feeling it.
Anyway, yeah. So, you know, I thought, hey, man, tell her the person who bought the damn pizza is the one who ate the last slices, and let's get back to work. And it was just, like, really presumptuous to me of her to just front him off like that. 818-514-1202. Yeah. Hit the number one and give your comments.
Yeah, that's what that's pretty wrong, but obviously she has a relationship with him like that where...
That's not your son. She's playing him like that's a man.
Yeah.
See, the thing about that, though, is, you know, I just feel as if, you know, I have to ask women is, why, though? Why would you want your son to even pretend to... Because that is kind of creepy. That seems real incestuous to me. That's my
word.
Yeah,
but I don't think the women that do it, I don't think the women that do it are consciously... treating them like their man. They don't I don't think it's a conscious thing, like
right.
I say, and I don't think it's a sexual
thing.
Yeah,
I don't think it's anything.
But it's just that
about it.
I'd rather hang out with him because I've clicked with him.
But that's what I'm that's the
and
part
it's easier
about it.
Than clicking with somebody in a relationship. Not for the sex. No one is going that route. No one is implying that at all. Exactly.
What she think an ideal guy should be.
But instead of, I could agree with what you're saying because that is true. But instead of training this dude, your son, to be the man that you want him to be, and maybe depending on the woman, it may be rooting him in the way of being a good man, I would say, and he would probably grow up to respecting women because he'd say, my mom treat me so nice or whatever the case may be. But at the same time, this dude has now feel as if I owe my mom everything and now I cannot get out and function in an actual relationship with somebody outside of my mom. And that's going to hinder him later on in life. That's going to slow him down as to how to interact with another woman or how to even talk to another woman that's not his mother.
Right.
So you as a mother should say, okay, you know what? Let me step back and let this man be a man sometimes. Let him take his bumps. Let him take his heartache.
Selfish. She is totally selfish.
Absolutely.
Well, let me ask this then. When you see the first round draft pick of the football, of the NFL, get drafted and you see the single mama was sitting there with the hat of the team that's drafting him and she's so proud of this and that, or the one who's at the college graduation singing, yeah, we've been through so much, but we got him through, and all this credit, because it does take a lot to raise a child up right. And when a single mother takes all that credit, how much credit should be placed on a single mom when dude robs the 7-Eleven?
See, that's when
go sales on the corner.
You know what's crazy about that? It's not going to, and let's be real, it won't go to being credit to the mother at all. It instantly goes from, okay, if the good thing is, bam, anything good happens to the kid, it's, hey, look at the mom. She's there all the time. She's with him. He's getting good grades because the mom is there.
Right.
But if the mom is there 24/7 and the kid goes over and knocks over the 7-Eleven, like you said, it's, well, you got to understand, the mom's there all the time working. Where's the father? And it's all, you know,
that's
an
interesting point.
So it's all the glory and none of the blame.
Yeah, I believe that. I don't think
818-514-1202. We want to hear everyone's comments Someone call in and push that number one and give your comment.
Now, my question is, though, I mean, and I got to ask everybody, how many times have you actually heard or seen where the mother will cry, like, I never would expect this from my baby, and then everybody will show her them. Like, father, or what, even if, and to take it a step further, if the father was a single dad and the kid went over and knocked a snicker store, it would still be, hey, man, you need to do more. You need to go out there. They won't never say, well, he's a single dad and the mother's out there. You don't hear that. I'm not saying it never happens, but
you don't hear it, though.
Hear it. You always hear when something bad happens to the kid, yo, where's the father? How come the father ain't there? What is this and what is that? And, you know, and to be real, a lot of times, and I don't condone this, but I do understand why. Because of the relationship with the mother, the father do say, I need to step back because if I don't, things can get worse. So I need to step back just a step. But stepping back to a step for a dad is taking a big leap back to some women. Not all,
yeah.
But some women. So therefore, it's all in the eye of who. It's all, matter of fact, I can't even say in the eye of the person watching. It's in the ear of the person who's listening.
Okay. So then let me ask you this: for the dads or the divorced husbands who are in the children's lives, and when the dad sees that, okay, you know what, you are baby, because in a man's eyes, he gonna take it. You're always babying the boy.
True.
You're always babying the boy. Let the boy grow up. When he tries to interject himself in between him and say, okay, you've got to give him some space. You've got to let him do this. You've got to let him do that. Mm-hmm. And then he gets his head bit off, right or wrong.
Is who right or wrong?
Is the mother right or wrong for biting his head off?
The dad?
Yeah.
I think she's wrong.
Yeah,
I think she's wrong for that. Especially if you have a man, be it stepdad, actual dad, whoever the case.
Yeah, forget. I'm not saying a man in the house. I'm saying the divorce. You know, they divorce. The dad is not in the home, but the dad is still trying to be around and trying to be active.
She's
but
still wrong.
He come to pick him up to go play basketball or go fishing or something, and they sitting there watching Lifetime, or they're planning on going to the mall together. Or whatever.
No, I think dad does have a right to say something.
Do you believe that you can overindulge your child?
I'll tell you
something that I don't like that I see today. And there are, I see it from a lot of two-parent households, but I see it a lot in a lot of single-mother households.
Mm-hmm.
Single mom got her nice job. You know, she's a manager at so-and-so and so-and-so, right? Nice job, pulling down some nice bucks or whatever. She's got the house. It's the son, it's the daughter, and it's her. You know, they doing their thing. Everything's cool. But she's got the brand new nice, you know, BMW outside, right? Boy just got his license. She kicking over the keys to the BMW and letting this boy go out joyriding in the car. Don't like it. It's not smart. I believe, I'm going to be honest, I believe you should never, ever give any teenager your best car, period. Under no circumstances, I mean, unless you're in the car with them, you're teaching them how to drive, understand that. But, yo, any child's first car should be a beater.
But what
happens something.
True. The only car, and he wanted to go out. Because see, here's the thing, I don't have a problem.
If you got a BMW, you should be able to afford to buy another.
Well, it depends on the situation, because if you got it, what if, all right, look, the BMW is a family car. We had enough. We didn't have enough to get a lot, but we wanted something nice for the entire family, so we got a nice car. We have a nice apartment and we have a nice car. The kid's old enough or whatever,
okay.
I don't think that just because, you know, he's a teenager or whatever, that should be. I mean, I've driven my parents' new car when they had it. They had the Mazda 626 when it was out, and I drove it, and I knew it wasn't mine. But, yeah, I drove the car. It's not like...
You didn't feel like an increased sense of pressure driving this brand-new car?
I mean, I felt the
Did
pressure of knowing that...
Did you pick your boys up and y'all go leaning in the car, lowering the windows down, thumping the system, and going out, hitting the park, cruising in the 626?
We went cruising because they said, hey, here you go. You got to... I mean, it all depends. Like I said, I don't feel as if just because it's a new car, you don't... Let them, like, if you don't, now here's the thing, I agree with you, say you don't buy them a brand new car and say, hey, this is yours. I agree with you on that, but if, hey, man, you got some good grades here, man, take my car, go ahead and enjoy yourself. Go to the movies, go out to eat, you know, because you did good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reward. I don't mind that. That doesn't mm-hmm. bother me, but I'm not going to hand you, hey, man, you got blah,
it's
blah,
Friday,
blah.
And your boys wants to go out. Can I get the car? No.
I mean, that, you know.
No, we'll get you. We'll get you. We'll work to get you a car. I have no problems with.
And you're a car as a car. You're asking to be pulled over.
That's why I would. Hey, man, I need the license, the insurance, and the car. The reason I say that, if you're a target and they, first off, if you're a target in a nice car, you're going to be a target in another car anyway, especially if you ride around in a car with four. If you ride in a, they stop you now if you ride four deep in a car.
Yes.
So
yes, they will.
If you.
Which is
car,
because it's against the law for a young driver to be riding four deep in a car now.
Right. But that.
Right.
But I mean, one, why? That's
why?
That's,
because I've seen too many of these. I've seen too many of these kids and their mamas or daddies or whoever car in the family car.
Mm-hmm.
One, you're trying to holler at this girl. You stop in the middle of the street. You don't pull over to the curb to speak to your friend or your girl. You stop in the middle of the street and you're holding a conversation.
What does that have
in
to do
car?
With four people in the car? I've seen that with one person in the
I'm
car.
I'm just saying, I didn't say with the four people. I'm saying
no,
period.
I'm saying
the kid in the good car.
Deep.
Acting a damn fool.
No, I was asking why was the four deeper rule. That's what I asked.
Because kids get in trouble. That's why. And young drivers are distracted drivers. No, they're not going to do that anyway. Young drivers are distracted drivers. Young drivers clowning around in the car gets people killed.
Yeah.
It's a statistical fact. And they did that to say, you're not old enough. And if we catch a bunch of y'all in the car, then, yeah, you got to get your little license revoked until you're 18. You don't. Yeah, if you want to go,
but that's
like
that,
you
at
say
18,
to the store.
That's still 18.
Okay, but
still
they're still saying you're an adult at 18, and that's just the law.
All right, well,
so you could still be a knucklehead at 18. True, but they're trying to say we're trying to give you some time to become a responsible driver, and they're trying to give you credit for having some type of learning curve.
We were talking about 18 anyway.
I'm talking about 16.
Oh well, no,
I'm talking about 16.
I'm talking
just got your license. 17. Yeah, I'm going to the basketball game, sure, y'all. And then you and your boys are all packed in the BMW, and you're out clowning.
Like I said, out of 16 is your – man, I don't know about that. But, like, you're 17, 18.
I think certain things you overindulge children with. I think giving them the brand-new car and you just got your license, you racking up tickets? No.
No, see,
no.
But that – I mean, it all depends on the kid, though. I don't think that – I mean,
well,
we're
doing a topic. We're talking in generalities,
right, I know.
Anyway.
That's
so we're not going to talk about a specific. Right? There's always exceptions. You're a straight A student who never you got Peter Parker,
right?
The responsible
that's what
kid.
I'm saying. That's,
sure, but I'm just talking in generality.
That's what I'm saying. To go off your topic, to me, it made it seem like you were saying that all the kids, if you're 16, regardless on what you're doing, you don't get the new car. That's what it. That's how it came off to me.
Right. Yeah, that is kind of how you
well,
came
still
out.
Okay, I'm saying as a token rule, sure. But
right.
Of course, there can be some kid who can show that, okay, yeah, I'm not like that. But for a token rule, yeah. Just like they got a token rule, sure. There could be a 13-year-old who can drive a car. That don't mean they're going to let them do it. So it's a token rule. 16,
no, I mean,
you can drive a car.
But I mean, token rule, can you legally drive a car?
No, I'm not talking about legally.
No,
I'm saying you can. So there's kids who got the mental mindset to do it.
Okay,
but,
I understand that. But my point is, if you're legally able to drive a motor vehicle at 16.
Yes, then for a token rule, even at 16, I don't believe you should give your kid the brand new car.
Right.
You shouldn't give them the Lexus at 16. Now, could there be special occasions? Could there be this kid that's just super bright? Sure, but I said for a token rule, not too into it.
Have you ever drove in a car at a time when you didn't have a license?
No, as a kid? No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did.
No.
Yeah, just curious.
Man, no, man, my pops would kick me.
No, I mean,
I have
my
to
pops,
agree.
No,
I would give my.
No, I never took it. You know, I never said, hey, I think I'll snatch these. But no,
and again, never ran,
like,
never rolled in a stolen car
but
either.
See, here's the thing, though. What my situation was, I proved that to my pops that I could drive a car when he just said, all right, man, look, we was at my uncle's house, and me and my cousin was outside, and we were, I don't want to say we were bored. We were just sitting there. He was like, hey, man, yeah, go to the store for me. And he gave me the key. I went to the store, came back, and he was like shocked. Like, okay, cool, whatever, right? Then he was like, all right, cool. Now, this is me and my two cousins in the back of the car. Now, after that, we were heading home. My cousins wanted to come with me. He said, all right, cool, drive home. And I drove home, and it impressed him. He was like, man, I would have thought. And he was trying to distract me while
but
I was driving.
But he was in there with you.
Right. The first time he wasn't. The second time he wanted to see how I drove.
Okay.
And then after that, as soon as we got back to the house, I was like, hey, can I go to a store that was in our neighborhood? It wasn't down the street. It was like maybe we lived on 92nd. It was a store on 86th. And
okay.
He was like, okay, here. Gave me the keys. And me and my two cousins went to the store. We chilled in there. We was at the store. We saw some girls. We hollered. We, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we were impressed. And then, you know, got numbers. We got back in the car and took the long way home.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it was an impression that was, okay, well, cool. Maybe we can leave them with the car. That's how
maybe.
It started.
Okay, but just because you just told that story now, are you willing to say that because that happened to you, and that's great, that should be a rule that every parent should...
No, I don't think it's
should...
a rule. I mean, every parent has it's their opinion. It's on how they think the rules should apply to their child.
Really?
Yeah, really.
So, okay, you're saying yes, too. So let me ask you this.
I'm saying it in that particular regard, yes.
Right, but do you think that even though you showed the acumen to be able to drive, do you really – and that was great. And I'm not going to – you know, your dad is a great dude.
Yeah.
And we're not even – we're saying rule and thumb, you think that's a good idea to do. Even, hey, I think my son might be bright enough to drive at 13,
you have
14.
To show some
let
faith in you.
Really? So what
point.
If you went out and killed somebody?
Then it
just
would
saying.
Be on me.
No, it wouldn't be on you. It
It'd
would
be
on
him.
Them.
Okay.
So that's these rules for a reason. And I get what you're saying.
I got you.
But the reason that they don't, you know, that's something that shouldn't be encouraged is because you did it great. The one that go out and hit the old guy.
Not so
great.
Right.
Right.
I agree with that. But see, here's the thing about that is, even if – now, I did that when I was 17. That was 17
when I did
that. Oh,
well, that's not the same.
No, that I was trying to get to the point about me having the new car at 17.
No, yeah,
and
no, you were already old and you knew how to drive.
Yeah, no.
You
yeah.
led off saying that 13-year-old could drive.
No, I was.
And that's why
I
thought
okay,
you were saying
no,
that
no,
he
no,
gave
no,
you
no,
the
no.
car at 13, and you
nah,
did all of that.
Nah,
that's why I'm like,
that's
not a good
12. Nah,
that's
nah,
what I'm
okay,
saying.
Okay, no.
Yeah, 17, sure, of course. That's nothing wrong with
yeah.
that.
But no, I was my.
You
my,
proved yourself, is what you're saying.
Right. And what my thing was, that was proving. I'm getting back to the subject on the new car. That was proving
right.
myself in the new car
to be worthy to do it.
Right.
And I get you on that.
But
as you can see, the general point I was making. Was there's a lot of parents or single mothers, single dads, whatever, parents out there who just give up the new car like it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to me it sends a real bad message because these kids are over-entitled as it is.
True.
And they don't have any responsibility. Yeah, he gave you the car. You knew you were being tested, so you knew you better walk that line
right.
and walk it right.
True.
Some of them just, hey, yeah, here, take the Beamer. And I just...
But let me ask a question. The ones real quick, the ones that, what if you're one of them parents that have a nice bank account and what do you give them as a beater? Like if you got, if you got the Charger and I need something like you got over money, like you're mega rich, you're well off.
Okay,
and
so
what if you got the Charger, the Magnum? The Camaro, all these cars, and he just says, hey, can I just get the Magnum, the Dodge Magnum?
With the Hemi 8350.
Well, not even the Hemi Magnum, just the regular standard Dodge Magnum.
Nope.
Right.
I mean, the way I see it is I think any young kids starting out, I agree with Ray in a sense. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in getting anything ridiculous. You know, if you're going to get a brand new car for your kid, maybe a small two-door, something easy on to maintain.
They have small if they can't sleep a bunch of people.
Exactly. Something that they have to maintain a sense of responsibility for. I personally think, like my dad thought, I had to buy my own car. And I didn't drive until I was 19. Though I had a license at 16, I didn't really drive until I was 19 years old. And there's a reason for that. When you get behind the wheel at 16, 17 years old, mm-hmm. all you're thinking about is, I want to drive.
True.
You know, you're not really thinking about all the things around you. You do not know how to effectively defensive drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I can agree with that.
And they're going to want to pile all their friends into the car. They're going to want to go here, there, and everywhere else, not thinking. Now, it's incumbent on a parent to impart the rules of the road and reinforce them. But we know how kids get. I don't think buying a kid a brand new car is the answer. I think if you give them something, you know what I'm saying, even if you get them a little beater or something or help them, say, hey, I'll pay half, you come up with the other half.
Right.
They have to come up with something to where they have a sense of responsibility, a sense of accomplishment, so they'll appreciate it more.
Yeah, when you said that you had your license at 16, but you didn't actually drive till you 19,
mm-hmm.
did you feel like you missed out on something at all? Like, do you feel like you missed out on them times of just being able to, I don't want to say be free with your friends, but, like, you missed out on those 3 years that you could at least been behind the wheel and gone places?
A little bit, but I'm going to tell you what, in the grander scheme of things, and having a 15-year-old, I get it. I totally get it. So, you know, and it's just that part of being a parent where it's not so much as you don't trust your kid, but you don't trust your kid and you don't trust traffic out here. Because, I mean, just me being an adult and, you know, I have a little more sense of paranoia, especially after what happened to me in a car accident,
right.
how people do not pay attention to what's going on. And it took me years to get acclimated and learn how to defensive drive and how to drive for other people. That's not an innate sensibility that you have becoming a new driver. That's something that you have to, you know, acquire as time goes along.
Okay.
So, I mean, unless you're one of those parents who has every waking minute of the day to really roll with your kids constantly and see how they drive and make sure the radio isn't the first thing that they touch before they adjust their mirrors and put their seatbelt on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know,
and I honestly feel that, you know, but see, the only thing I would have to say against that is that I feel as if that, you know, I don't want to deprive any kid. Like, even like you would say, I agree with you. Even when it comes to, okay, you know, if the kid wants to work and go half on you with a car, if the kid has a grand when he's 16 because he worked through summer, he saved, he's done all of this, and he said, hey, match my grand or even give me half of that, give me $1,500, and he's 16 and he gets a beater, the traffic is still going to be out there regardless. And
mm-hmm.
I get the fact that I don't even think that when you said that the kid is just going to be thinking drive regardless, he's going to think that if he's behind a BMW, or he's going to think that if he's behind a Dodge, a Neo.
But he's supercharged up now because he's in the Benz.
Right.
Where
he hears all the music
about the Benzes and
right.
everything, because now
uh-huh.
he's in that crowd.
Uh-huh.
So he's
going to
jack up his music extra loud, pick up every friend, because every friend's going to want to ride with him there. This is the problem with teenagers. See, they're not going to ask. The 16-year-old teenage boy is not going to ask his friends, hey, you don't have no weed in your pocket, and you don't have this on you, do you?
True.
They're not going to pre-screen their kids. So, you know, you got this young face driving around in a $60,000, $70,000 car. It's going to
mm-hmm.
be an automatic target for a police officer. Now, the kid could be squeaky clean.
But somebody
just
else
a,
could be.
Right,
could
but somebody,
be.
One of his friends could be on some BS, you know, friend lied to him about having something on him. It's so many situations. My daughter and I last year saw a group of about six teenagers pulled over, you know, maybe about two or three miles from here, you know, all up on the shoulder, you know what I'm saying, and the whole car is being searched. Now,
mm-hmm.
don't know how that outcome came about or whatever, but just the general fact of your kid having to go through that, not knowing what type of officer you're going to get, it's so many things out here.
True.
You know, your kids have to be mentally prepared for. But it's time for a break, so we're gonna step away for a couple of moments, and we'll delve back in. Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
I hear voices in my head. They count to me. They understand. They talk to me.
Brothers Radio.
Are you a man but you're turned off by monster trucks? Have you ever watched the bridges of Madison County? Have you forgotten how to scratch yourself? If so, talk to your doctor, because you could be one of the 10 million men suffering in silence from a condition known as menopause. Menopause afflicts men over the age of 40 and is one of the leading causes of depression, the loss of manliness, and the popularity of movies starring Owen Wilson. But there is hope. Girly Man No More. Girly Man No More has been scientifically and clinically proven to increase manliness. Talk to your doctor to see if Girly Man No More is right for you. Girly Man No More should only be used as directed by your physician. Possible side effects include death, sudden loss of limbs, temporary disembowelment, rage, clammy hands, hairy palms, hearing voices, busy signals, extreme attraction to squirrels, and fear of elevators. Girly Man No More is not for men who are pregnant or who may become pregnant. Do not take Girly Man No More if you have hands or if you are currently taking any other medicine. So talk to your doctor and call now for a free trial. Girly Man No More. Also available in a topical cream. But that's just wrong.
You got the show.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Relax your mind, let the concentration get down to the sound of your PDM. But you should keep quiet while the MC rapping tired. Then go take a nap. Stay awake and watch the show I take, because right now I'm about to shake your bed. D-E-I-C-K is my name, my spell. Think to the clientele, yo, I rock well. I'm not an MC, who talking all that junk about who can be who. Sound like a
Truth Brothers Radio, and we're back. We're talking about He's Your Son, Not Your Man, and we're talking about cars and how old should your kid be before you get him a car, or should you just let him drive the brand new car? Now, Devon, you have said something about him saving up enough money and you matching him and helping him get a car and all of that. That's not a problem.
Right.
But the responsibility that comes in with, yeah, you can help him get a car, you can get him a car. The responsibility comes in is he should pay his insurance.
True.
Now right. You're going to see what it takes to have it, along with the maintenance and the responsibility to keeping it up. The insurance is important because yeah. When you go out there clowning around and you get that fender bender, you're going to feel it.
I agree.
You're
and
gonna
I think
feel
that's
it.
Where the parents really yeah. need to come in. That's where moms need to come in, dads need to come in and impress upon, hey, you want to be out there driving, this is incumbent on you.
Yeah. And yeah, and insurance companies will tell you the same thing. You got that Beamer and you put your 16-year-old kid or 17-year-old kid on that insurance with that Beamer and watch what Progressive think of that move.
Of course, yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes, I mean, that's going to happen, you know. I don't really have a, you know, look, when you have kids, you know that you got to sacrifice anyway. It's going to happen regardless on what it is. I mean, some people just want to give their kids something that they didn't have, you know. And I mean, in all instances, sometimes you need to give them what you did have, and sometimes you can give them what you didn't have.
Right,
in that
right.
sense. I mean, that's something that, you know, that was, I was trusted, and a lot of times I'm like, I don't see the real huge issue behind it, because even when I was in that, you know, between me and my brother actually driving those two, we rarely, I don't think, I got a ticket for maybe, I didn't stop completely at a stop sign, or, you know, well, probably the max that I got at that time. But as far as, you know, anything outside of that, it wasn't, you know, I don't, yeah. And I think that, and a lot of times, a lot of experience that I have had, I think that my kids should see. They should see what it was like to, I don't, it's going to sound, they should see what it's like to run out of gas at a certain point, so you know what to do or how to change the tire on your own or to check. A lot of them things that I had to learn on my own because I was young and I don't want to say dumb behind the wheel, but I learned, yeah, you ran out of gas. So now okay. I got to get the container.
Yeah, see, now, see, my dad was different. And, oh, yeah, Justice just checked into the chat room. So what's up, Justice?
What's happening, bro?
Yeah, and when I first got my license, my dad was like, now, if I let you use this car, you're going to have to meet certain criteria that I'm going to set for me to let you use this car.
Right.
And the first thing he did is he took me out on like a Saturday morning and he pulled the car out and he changed the tire, right? And he mm-hmm. showed me how to change this tire. Then he put the tire back on. He took the jack down. He took all the stuff, put it back in the car. Then he handed me the keys. And he said, all right, now change all four tires.
Right.
And then when you can show me you can change all four tires, then I'll let you use the car. Because he said, I don't want you going out there getting in a flat somewhere and you don't know what to do.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right.
So he made, no he said, he's that. Out there on the deck with his ice cold lemonade and watch me change all four tires.
Not a problem with
yeah.
that at all.
Yeah.
I want to digress from that particular subject a little bit to go back. I just have a question back on our actual topic, because it just makes me wonder how I don't have any sons, you know, so I'm not sure exactly how you think, you know, and just from you two, how would you go about, you know, give you a scenario. You got a 17, 18-year-old young man at home that you relied on heavily as a mother, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, he's getting out of age now. He's into other girls. He's into dating. He's ready to, you know, do some other things and kind of let his mother's hand go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But she doesn't know how to let go because she's instilled all these values in him, kind of made him into the man that she would picture for herself.
Okay.
How does one get away from that? How, you know, and I would like to hear from some ladies, if they're out there listening tonight, how do you pull back from that?
Right. Right,
you know, and know when to say enough is enough.
No,
and let your son grow and be into the man, you know, grow into the man that he's going to be.
Right now, as a man, I mean, as a if you're the father in that relationship, and we're gonna take it, y'all done split up, and you doing your thing, and she's doing her thing, but she got the kids, and you there. Believe it or not, it's a hard conversation that you're going to have with her.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where it gets hard for a man, because he's got to be prepared to go ahead and get into that argument and that fight.
Yeah.
Because it's a certain point where he's going to have to say, look, you're going to have to cut them apron strings and let him be a man.
Sure.
You're going to have to pull back. Look, he wants to go out with his girlfriend. Why don't you let the girl come over? Why don't you talk to the girl? He wants to go out on a date. Now you have no problems giving him the car to go play basketball with his boys, but every time he wants the car, you won't give it to him when he wants to take this girl out. Now you may not like her, but you need to get to know her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, the father has to say, you've got to cut back on them apron strings and kind of got to butt heads with you. The problem is when a man is outside of the home, it's hard to butt heads with the woman in the house. It's very hard.
I can get that. I can understand.
And
that's
true. And the fact of the matter is that, because I had, it's crazy because men, and I'm going to slightly divert, but I'll be right back is what I'm saying. Men have a problem when once they step outside the home, a lot of people tend to believe he wants to stay outside the home.
Yep.
When it's not, that's
yep.
not the case. He wants to just separate. He wants to keep friction away between you and him but not he don't want to be away from him and his kids.
Yep.
And a lot of people seem to incorporate the two. If he don't want me, he don't want my kids.
Right.
That's not true. Now, the thing about it is I came across a status I was reading not too long ago where a woman said it put up and said, a man, just if you're outside the house, is because we the ones with the child all the time, we hold the power. And it caught me off guard, and I was like, by you saying that, I could see now initially why he left, and if you got all the power, with my hands up, hound it, coach, because if you, boom, if you left, we would have to take the responsibility on our own, and we wouldn't, you don't see a lot of dudes hounding the mother down to come be a mother. You see a lot of the women hounding the dads, come be a father, come be a father. And when you do it, you should take whatever I give you. It shouldn't be like it's peace here.
Right.
It should just be, I feel mad because you're not here, so I'm going to throw you everything I feel like throwing you. And if you don't take it, you're not a man. That's not fair. Now, that's just digressing for a second on why pops do leave. Now, that's a lot of time why the man is outside the home. Like Ray said, though, there is a problem when the father is not there and he's not able to rear the kid as far as that man role comes, because regardless on whatever people may believe or not, gender roles do exist and gender roles are important. I'm sorry, it may sound sexist. Let me tell you, people who listen to the show, I put this up and to spark a conversation, and I was like, that's real sexist to say
that gender roles exist.
That gender roles
that a man
exist.
should be a man and teach a young man how to be
only,
a man.
But when I got into that conversation, I said, you know what's crazy? You and I this was a specific person, not to all women, because I do not believe all women think like this. To this specific person, I said, it's funny because you want a gender role to exist when it's convenient for you.
Yep.
That's what it is. When it's like, okay, well, you're not a man, why are you not opening my door or something like that, then that's when the gender, no, you got it. But when it comes, or when it's, hey, the bill's here, be a man, pick that bill up. But, you know, in other situations, you're like, well, I don't see why he should be have half the rights that I have when it, and I was like, does that make sense to you? They said, well, kind of, yeah, and, you know, conversation went off board. But gender roles exist. They are important, and I believe that a father is more of a disciplinarian, and, with force and power, and your women are more likely, they're nurturing. That's just, you know, the balance that we have. So after we lay down law, kid can run to you and get the nurture. I'm cool with that because they have to have that balance in
the
household.
As long as you're backing up the law.
Exactly. So, you know, but like you were saying, with the father not being there, it's hard for the dad to come through and say, look, stop baby-fying this boy, stop, you know, whatever, I guess we can call it sister-fying or whatever the case may be, because when you do that, you get the four boys rapping about how it's good to do blowjobs upon each other.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
that's just my point. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it gender roles are important. The reason, like you say, you've got some of these videos that we had with the dick slang and all this other stuff that we always showing on The Terrible Truth, mm-hmm. is because these gender roles are breaking down. Yes, a man is supposed to represent certain things. A man should show certain qualities to show that he's capable of being there and taking care of a woman. And when I say taking care of a woman, that doesn't mean that you get to sit up in the house being barefoot and pregnant. But there's a certain point that a man has to be the backbone of his house. And and in the black community especially, I know that this whole thing has been damn near torn apart. And I know there's a lot of strong women out there who has been put in the role to have to be the backbone, who has done a great job of being the backbone.
Mm-hmm.
But ladies, let's be honest. There was a dude who was willing to be the backbone. A lot of times you say, I wish I had a man who could do all of this stuff mm-hmm. for me. But then when you date the dude, you run him into the dirt. You chase him away because you don't know how to give up that. You don't know how to give up that role. And
yeah.
I understand. Look,
yeah,
it's hard. Look, being a captain is hard. And once you've been a captain and a successful captain, it's you're asking a lot for someone just to give up and all of a sudden be first mate again.
Yes.
You're asking a lot. And some women can't do it, but if you can't do it, be honest and say that, and then you'll go. You'll be a little. It'll be a little easier dealing with the person you're dealing with in your relationship. Quit trying to get married if you know you don't want to give up being head of your household, and you're dating a dude who's looking to be the head of his household.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Give up on the marriage thing. Y'all can still date. You got your house. He got his house. Everything is cool. You run your stuff, you run his stuff. But a lot of women like to push in, hey, we need to get married. When we going to do this? When we going to do this? When you probably shouldn't do this because you're not looking to give up the power role you've had for 10, 15 years.
True.
And that's understandable.
True. Absolutely.
Which should be a question. I mean, you make an interesting point with that because that really should be a question a lot of dudes ask before getting very serious in a relationship with a woman.
Yeah.
You know, if we take it to that next level, are you prepared to let me lead?
And with that, it's two things to what you're saying right there. One, well, I'll tell you when I come back, when we come back on the other end
of
the break. I'll tell you my thing, the two scenarios to that, Truth Brothers Radio.
Brothers Radio.
Oh, John. We've been married 30 years now, and I love you more every single day. Tonight, we're going to celebrate. I made a delicious dinner at your favorite, and afterwards, a little something special for you. I can't wait.
She's excited. We've been married a long time. But she's not the same fox she was in high school. Tonight, you might need a little help. Let Viagra pick up the tab. With Viagra, you can maintain an erection for up to 4 hours, and you'll be ready to give her the best night she's had in years.
Oh, John, this is amazing. I haven't felt this good in years.
If erection lasts more than 4 hours, please consult a doctor. Erections lasting more than 4 hours may be dangerous and unsightly. Do not go into the workplace with your 4-hour long-lasting erection.
Brothers Radio.
There's a fire starting in my heart. You keep my fever just for bringing me out the door.
Truth Brothers Radio, we're back. And before we left, it was a question proposed. I can't remember exactly the question, but I do remember my statement. Oh, Candace asked, brothers need to ask a question. Are you prepared to give up? They should ask their spouse or significant other, would they be prepared to give up the power that they have or whatever and let me lead? Two things to that. One, brothers, when you ask that question, you have to be prepared to take that role. You can't say it and not back it up. If you say you want to lead, you got to lead because she's going to wait for you to F up and say, yep, now I got something to throw in your face about it. So if you ask that question, you have to be able to, whatever it takes, to lead the ship, as
right.
We say. The other thing is when women, when you say, yes, I am, you cannot say it and not mean it. You can't say it and 2 weeks later feel like, okay, I don't like this. It's not you, me. You told this man and gave him a position where you said, okay, cool, I'll let you do it. And he's embraced it, and he's handling his business. And you like, you know what? I just feel like my role ain't important enough no more. I want to get back to leading my ship again. You can't do that. That's just my two states.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Justice loves that last break, man. He was
That's hot business. And the other guys, they weren't. Them other guys wasn't so hot with the acceleration.
Actually, that's who he was. He was asking about the score. He said, "Where did that score come from?"
Yeah, that's. I think some little small group.
Right.
Yeah, but I think it's really important to know your role and to play your part. And, you know, even – and it could still be a work in progress. You know, both parties may want to try to work it out, you know, to a certain extent, you know, where they say, okay, well, look, I'm going to work with you. I'm going to work on that. And it may not happen overnight because you've been in control for so long.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And for the ladies out there, I know it's hard. But really, you really got to stop treating your sons like your boyfriends. You really need to take a look at your relationship with your sons. But for that matter, some of you need to take a look at the relationship you got with your man, because most women treat their men like their sons.
That's another topic.
We can just reverse that.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole lot of women who, if put it like this, if you're about to go to bed and you see your son and your boyfriend sitting on the couch and they both playing Gears of War together, and you have to pry him away, or they're arguing about the game, the PSP and all of that, or the Xbox, you got a problem. I worked with a dude who would complain about this lady's son and how he's always on the video game console, and how he always throw a fit when he wanna play some games. Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, that's
yeah.
See, you know, here's the situation. First, kick it off with your comment. Absolutely gorgeous. Let's just kick it off with that too. The problem is, you're right. A lot of women do treat their men like their children. And Candace said something that I do agree with. Some dudes, it may be his problem because he allow it, but he's allowing it because he loves his woman. He just wants to keep a dude's. Dudes want to keep peace in their house. They do.
I disagree with you on that.
I don't say all. A dude will go, what I mean by that is a dude will go above and beyond to please their woman. Dudes do that. And sometimes they do just say, you know what, to keep peace, here.
But that's something you don't compromise on.
What you mean?
Compromise your principle and your standards about you being a man and being emasculated by a woman, you know what I'm saying, who is coming at you. Like, she's your mother. He already has.
Oh, well, yeah. I was going to say,
some of them brothers who let that happen, they want it to happen.
Yes.
They want to be the child in the house. Children don't have to go to work.
True.
If you getting up going to work and your boyfriend or husband or whoever is on the couch, and when you come home,
right,
he's still on
them?
The couch, you got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You got a problem.
True.
If it's always a reason he can't get a job,
if he can't never hold one down, you got a problem. That's in the concept where the guy's acting like a child to begin with.
Yeah.
So yeah, but if you're treating him like a child, but he's not, you know, he's not doing the things that you were just saying, then that's a problem. If you feel like that, I just got this motherly instinct, and I got that, you know what, y'all all my children. And you're treating him like a child and talking to him like he's a child. That's the problem.
If your man spends all of his Saturday washing his car and y'all don't go out, or if your man got a job and he lives with you and he comes home and don't even kick in on the rent or nothing, and yet he got 28, you got a problem.
That's, you know what? That's true. These dudes got to get off that. No doubt.
But see, you know, and it's a double-edged sword because it's one of those things, what are you allowing?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. I don't want that for a male role model for my son, my teenage son, thinking that it's okay for you, for me to go to work and to come home and you sitting in the same place where I left you. You know, my kid come home from school
asking,
and see
you
kicking back.
Chips.
Exactly. You know, my kid is going to think, okay, this is how it this is how it is. My mom takes care of dudes like this.
Yep.
You know, so.
Yep. And then the boyfriend or the man or the husband or whoever is sitting there telling them the same thing. Dog, you got to be a player.
It's tied up 1-1, y'all, Hawks and Bruins. What's up, Justice? Even though he said he ain't a hockey fan. Just had to put that out there. But, yeah, I agree with Candace. I told you, if you come back and the dude's still on the couch with his feet up playing NBA 2K14, and he say, hey, did you bring the Doritos Jack, and this ain't Buffalo.
Right.
Like, that's a
if
problem.
She's not nipping that in the bud from day one when she comes home and discovers that, she is going to have a long-term problem.
Well, that's...
In the sake of not being lonely.
How about this? Why don't you just do your man? You can do your man. Why do you always got to move your man in with you? Stop moving your man in with you.
Because they want to
take
care of
that
man. They want to be the money.
Before you do that, see if he can take care of himself.
If
he can take care of himself. If you meet your man and he live with his mama and then he move in with you, you shouldn't do it. If you meet your man and he barely can keep his rent up at his place and he don't keep his place clean, you shouldn't do it.
True. But the thing about that is women don't – some. I don't want to say women because I don't want to categorize all. Some women don't think like that. They think if I get him here – it could be a beautiful picture.
Yes.
Not the whole frame. It'll be a beautiful picture still, not a beautiful movie.
Yep.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Yep.
It'll be just a beautiful picture. Behind the scenes, when you're doing the filming, it's always a problem.
I like that.
I think that it's all image a lot of times. Everything is just image and how it will look on the outside.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
And a lot of times women move men thinking that it would be cool just to play house. Playing house ain't real.
Right. Because he can quit.
Yeah, he can quit playing
house.
Situations
can get real, right.
Yeah.
Like he can really leave or he can, you know, get really tired of it or actually say, hey, I'm not going to leave. You've been dealing with this all this time and intimidate you to where you don't leave.
Female friends going through that now.
Yep. If you got a man... and you got these situations going on with the bills in your house, and you done moved him in. He's sitting there on the PSP, and you sitting there at the table collecting these bills. And he don't step up and say, oh, no, hold on, baby. I got these. And go back to his PSP, you fine. But if he don't get up and help you and say, oh, no, I got this, you got a problem.
If he can't even pick up one bill, just
one. Right.
Just you know what?
Without you even having to open your mouth and say anything,
but
that's the thing.
That's the problem with
that's
dudes
the thing that
now,
pisses
though.
Us off.
The problem with dudes now is, and what's effing up our image is, manhood is so dead. The dudes don't even know where it is, and it's a cycle though. It's a cycle between the dad not being there, showing them what you're supposed to do. It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah. Throwing it in that the woman is over there overindulging the man from the mother to the girlfriend too.
Yeah, it's a vicious circle. I ain't even say cycle. It's a vicious circle.
Yeah,
it
that
is.
We're gonna eventually have to get rid of, and I don't know how, but I think manhood training needs to come into effect real soon.
And if you sit down rapping about blowing people. You need to go back. Grab them, put them on the bus, come back to man of strength. Obviously, the lesson didn't teach. But we are about to go on vacation. We're going to have new studios built. We're going to have a lot of new surprises when we come back from this hiatus. We're going to be giving the best of Two Brothers Radio. Plus, you're going to want to tune in and share those shows. Those are the shows that you want to grab and hand them out to everybody to show them how funny and how great this show is.
Okay. Go ahead, Candace.
I was going to say, and be sure to submit your show ideas to wewanttruth@apt.net. That's T-R-U-F. Make sure you send those to us.
And don't forget, man, we still have our Facebook page up and open, our Instagram.
Yeah.
and open. Our YouTube will be up and open. With
I was there? All right. But no, that's what I'm saying.
She hit the board.
You guys, please be sure, man, to hang. True Brothers will be back. We're coming back better than we came ever before. So
we're going to let you know that if you're not listening to the True Brothers,
then the truth ain't in you.
Peace, y'all.
Two fingers.
Peace.